Dogs, they are our best friends. They keep us company. They know when we're happy and when we're sad. They give us unconditional love. And despite all the technology, dogs are still the best way to find a bomb. The bad news on this front is that there's a worldwide shortage of bomb-sniffing dogs, and the U.S. is in need of a few good ones. A lot of good ones, actually. Kate Murphy wrote about this in a revealing article for the New York Times. So in this day and age, Kate, with all the chemical detection technology we've got, how are dogs still the best way to detect explosives?
Well, they have many more receptors in their nose than human beings. And certainly you can try and build a machine that has that many receptors in it, but they can't be as sensitive or discerning as a dog's nose, nor can they crawl around underneath seats, get into overhead bins, go around stadium seats the way a dog can. They're also not as curious as a dog. Mm. And anyone who's owned a dog knows that a dog will ferret out anything. They will find even the tiniest morsel that a kid throws on the floor, and the dog will find it. And that is by virtue of their nose.
It's still all about the nose. I know the TSA favors German Shepherds and German Short-Haired Pointers and Vizslas. I've got a mutt, but I know he's really smart, and he's not one of those. What does it take to be a bomb-sniffing dog? Because my Frankie has a vocabulary, sorry to brag here, probably 35, 40 words. Could he be a bomb-sniffing dog?
Not likely.
Why not? What does it take?
These dogs are, you know, bred for actually centuries to be the best sniffers in the world, and they are mainly bred in Europe. In the United States, as you know, if you've ever watched the Westminster Dog Show, those dogs are bred to be pretty. They're bred to be companions. They're bred to be dogs that aren't going to tear up your house. And in interviewing the breeders who breed these dogs, particularly in Europe, they say that the dogs that are the best are the dogs that, quote unquote, consume foster parents. Like in Sweden, they're sent home for the first year to live with a foster parent. And the dogs that would generally be euthanized in our shelters here, because they're the dogs that would tear up their cage, the dogs that would spin around in circles, they're the dogs that are just incredibly curious. They're the dogs that want to find that thing, whatever it is. And when they're told, this is what you'll be rewarded for, if you find this thing that smells like an explosive, these dogs cannot, I mean, they almost can't stand it. They have to go find it. They've got to get it.
So what are some of the countries that are known for having these dogs that are really good at this? I mean, you mentioned Sweden and the kind of fostering. Are there other places?
It's really Germany and the Netherlands is where it started, but you know, they're keeping those dogs for themselves now. And so now they're being bred primarily in Eastern Europe, where they can be bred in little farmhouses out in the countryside where they don't have the economic advantages of some of the Western European countries. And so it's kind of like this puppy mill industry, and these vendors go over there and they look for these dogs and then they buy them and then they flip them for a lot more money, where they sell them in Germany and the Netherlands.
Yeah, a lot of money. How much do they go for, some of these dogs?
The high range is $25,000, and that's for a fully trained dog. But dogs that are, as they say, green, that haven't been trained yet, they might go for anywhere from $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. But it's really, you know, they're just being bid up at the moment because it's supply and demand. And the Chinese and the Saudis are going in there and they're paying top dollar. They're paying $25,000. And the United States, the military, the government agencies that are looking for these dogs, they can't pay that kind of money. So they're not getting the really good dogs.
How long is the average working life of a bomb-sniffing dog, and who adopts them when they retire?
It's about 8 to 10 years, and a lot of times the handlers actually don't want to give up the dog. I mean, here they've spent their entire life with them, so they take the dog home with them. There were some people, I mean, it was really quite touching because I interviewed some of them, and some of them said, no, I really didn't want to take the dog home with me because it would be so unfair that I'd be walking out the door with the other dog.
Oh.
To go do the job, and then that dog would be, you know, looking at me with sad eyes, like, why don't I get to go?
I could have been a contender.
Exactly. If it isn't the handler, then they do, you know, put out calls to the community to see who might want to adopt the dogs.
What about you, Kate? Did you fall in love with any of these dogs?
Oh, my God, yes. In fact, they had to kind of slap my hand a few times from petting the dogs because you're not supposed to pet them.
Did you think about taking anyone home?
Yes. In fact, I'm still thinking about it.
Kate Murphy writes for the New York Times. Thanks very much.
Thank you.